Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Private Chat. I'm your host, Andrew Taylor, and with me this week, I have Quentin Hoffman. Quentin, how's it going?
I'm doing good, Andrew.
Good.
It's a long day, but that's just the college life. And
yeah,
I remember those 7 days. Seven-day weeks? Oh, yeah.
Jeez, man.
It's school Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
Then I work Friday through Sunday.
Okay, where do you work at?
Just like a grocery store, but like I deal with all the beer.
Okay.
So it's like during my, even when I'm at school, like when I have the little downtime that I have, it's like I'm texting people, making sure things are straight, like making sure like products are scanned and ready to go, and like trying to launch new stuff. Like I just got a message, from my beep, like I was calling my, my Ballast Point guy today, and he was telling me that Phantom, which is their Imperial India Pale, I'm pretty sure, lager,
yeah,
was ready to be scanned. But I was telling him, like, hey, I don't want this to blow up in the same way that you sent me this product before and it didn't scan and, like, basically fucked with me because, you know, if product's not scanned, then I can't really sell it, even though I did sell it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But I was talking to him, and I was talking to my St. Archer guy, and, like, hey, do you guys have any pumpkin beers for October? Because, you know, that's right around the corner. And, Andrew, I know you're going to be indulging on the pumpkin beers.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I'm basic.
So, I know. Like, a lot of people are. Like, I sold out of that shit, dude. but, like, talking to him, he doesn't have anything, but he has, like, a Blackberry Goes ready to be launched in November.
That sounds nice.
Which is going to be, yeah, I know. I'll send you a picture of the image of the can and all that. You can get the description.
Yeah.
But no, talking to him, then I need to talk to Carl Strauss and make sure their Oktoberfest is all ready to be set up, because I noticed other places are getting it, so I'm all like, I want your beer at my store, so come on, help me out. But no, it's just like, between doing that, juggling my blog / podcasts and school is fun, in quotes.
Chaos.
Yeah, it's literally chaos, because it's, like, this is probably going to go live on what, Friday?
It's actually going to go live tomorrow.
Ooh, damn.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry for pushing it out so late.
But you're good. I'm not the one editing the podcast. You are. So, like, I don't have to do
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I got, like, 3 hours before I got to be to bed. So, I mean,
yeah,
we'll be fine.
Yeah. Because have you done same day recordings before?
Not, like, same day, but, like, I have been like, okay, well, I'll push it out a couple days. It's not going to be, like, a big deal or anything like that. But I feel like if you kind of prolong something when people are used to it coming out, when you say it's going to come out, then they're kind of like, oh, and then they forget about it. So
yeah,
I've been better about getting things out, like, when I say they're going to be out. And then also, like, I had a guest on before, John Bernardo. He had, like, a great idea of just, like, backlogging things. Like, he would tell me how he schedules guests, like, a whole week. So, like, every other day or whatever. I'm not sure exactly how he does it. And then he has, like, episodes for, like, the next 4 or 5 weeks. And he's like, all right, well, here you go. And then I don't have to worry about it. So,
yeah,
that's kind of smart. For me, I have a little bit of a busier schedule where I don't really have the time to do that. But lately I've been trying to have at least a couple people come and record,
yeah,
you know, a week, and then that way I'm kind of, like, set. This week has just been kind of hectic. I, you know, had a job interview, and I was at home over the weekend at my parents' house, so I haven't really had a chance to do a lot, so.
And the only reason I asked about, like, the same-day recording is because the interview I did with Ian Purcell about, like, his move to Japan on breakingreality.com/plug is we literally recorded that.
Yeah.
Like, at 6 in the morning, I edited it, uploaded it, then headed off to the bus to go to work. And let me tell you, that was fucking misery. Like, it was the most miserable thing I've ever done to myself, because of the fact that I didn't, like, I was like, oh yeah, it's going to be super easy. Then, like, we got finished recording, and it was maybe like a 40-minute interview. But it was like close to 7. I'm like, shit, I work at 10 o'clock, and the bus, I gotta be on the 9 o'clock bus.
Yeah.
So, oh shit, I'm fucked. I gotta take a shower, I gotta edit this. I mean, it all worked out, but, like, It was possibly one of the most miserable things I've ever done before in my life.
Yeah.
Because I was not expecting it to be as hectic as it was.
Yeah.
So don't do it.
I went to a college that was all about deadlines. Like, if you didn't meet your deadline, you were basically fucked. Like, yeah. So I know exactly the feeling that you are describing, because I went to a technical college for audio engineering, and I was a procrastinator. I'm not gonna I'm not gonna lie or anything like that. I always loved waiting till the last minute to get something done, and then that's when the clutch would come in, and then I'd be like, okay, I'll do it like 2 days before, and it'll be perfect, and I know it's gonna be really good, and like I'm gonna pass, and then like I would work on the thing till basically 10 minutes before it was due.
Yeah.
And then I would hand it in and be like, okay, I think it was good enough. Like,
yeah.
That's obviously not a good mindset to have, a good ethic no, either. Not. But I mean, I pulled it off. So.
Yeah. Cause, I've had that's what I call like college crunch. Yeah. Like last semester, I'm going to community college right now. But, like, I wrote this paper, like, but I did, like, over 1,000 pages of research on it. And it was, like, maybe 10 pages long about, like, just fucking racism in America from, like, the 1860s on to now. And I turned it in. My professor's like, dude, what the fuck's wrong with you? Like, how long did it take you to write this? I'm like, oh, yeah, like 3 hours. And she's like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Like, this takes a normal human being, like, a couple of days. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I just did it in one night. And she's like, god damn, did you like have any Red Bull or anything? I'm like, no, I just drank a lot of water, stayed up late, wrote it. I was like, oh shit, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I have to go to school in like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Crashed.
I've been there.
At the library and went there.
Like, I had one, cause before I went to the technical college that I graduated from, I actually went to a community college for a year, and I took like this world history class, which was which was really weird. So they had like this one project where you had to, and it was so like childish, but and it was basically just like it was just busy work that they gave me, but like I had a project that he gave me where you had to draw a map of the world, so, like, the whole world. And then you had to name you had to put every country on there. And then, like, draw the borders and everything. And I'm like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. Yeah, exactly. Like,
what the fuck's wrong? I mean, I actually had an assignment similar to that with my, I took, for some odd fucking reason, I took geography.
Hey.
Last semester, and was like, kill me, because this is literally the study of fucking maps.
Yep.
And guess what? Half the time we were just joking about West Wing.
What kind of geography class were you taking? Jesus.
Oh my god, like
Netflix recap or
dude, seriously, that class fucking sucked ass, dude.
Yeah.
There was literally an assignment like that. I was like, oh yeah, label all the countries without using Google like maps or images. And I'm like, I looked at my professor and like looked at my friends like,
no what one's the fuck's actually going on? That.
Yeah. And like, granted, like I bullshit the assignment because all like everyone used the fucking internet.
Yeah.
But she's like, how'd y'all get all these right? And we're all like, that thing you told us not to do, we did. Yeah. Question mark.
Yeah. And going back to that assignment that I was talking about, I did it the night before it was due.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I was up all night doing that map. Yeah. But yeah, anyways, so
yeah.
Enough about college.
Oh, college,
college is for losers. I'm just kidding, no. College is
it's fun. Cool. You don't you shit on you. Me, George Cruz Alvarez, Roger Bacorny, Ben Bellevue. Who else do I know is in college?
Is this like
Moises Priley is in college.
Is this your hit list?
What?
Is this your hit list?
No, this is all the assholes in college.
Oh, yeah.
That you're shitting on because
I'm
you say college
isn't
cool.
I'm thinking about going back to college, so I mean, I can be one of those assholes, too.
Yeah.
But anyways, so
yes,
Quentin, you did mention this. Not only are you working at a grocery store, going to college, but you're running a blog slash podcast. Talk to me.
Multiple
about
podcasts.
It.
So
yeah, multiple. Yes, multiple. Sorry. And I've been one episode. So
you have. And I want to get you on again. I want you. I want the Alex and Andrew Taylor, the Alex O'Neill and the Andrew Taylor connection again, because that was a fun episode.
That was a fun episode, yeah.
So, for those who don't know, I am Quentin Hoffman. I run the website, BrickandReality.com, in which there's daily news stories in question marks. I've missed a few days because I was either writing piece for OKBeast.com. So it was like, you go back in my lineage and you'll see that a few days got missed just because I was writing for them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But majority of the time it's daily news, video game news rather. Then you go on my website and you see that there's a podcast page. And on that podcast page, you have my main show, Breaking Reality, which is a one-on-one, tends to be, podcast about gaming news, movie news, and basically what's going on in nerd culture. It always has listener questions, topic of the show. It's fun. Andrew Taylor's been on it.
No big deal.
Yeah. There's been, I've like, all the people on it should have been my friends. The next guest I'm going to have on it, which I'm recording tomorrow, is Ben Bellevue. Because
mm-hmm.
he was in this like Twitter combo. I was like, yo, when am I going to be back on your show? I'm like, ah, fuck it. You want to come on next week? And I was like, sure. I'm like, all right. Because, cool. You know, that's how plans are made. It's just like...
It is.
Whatever.
It's not even in the DMs anymore. It's actually in the threads now. So
it's now in mentions, yeah.
Yep.
But no, then you see my other show, which is Breaking Reality Stories, which is a bi-weekly interview show in which I, your host, Quentin Hoffman, interview someone who I think is doing something interesting. So, like, the most recent episode, episode 7, I did with Barrett Courtney. And I will openly say that that is the best episode of that show I've done. Because it's so... It's loose, but it's also, like, very meaty.
Yeah.
Because, if you don't know, Barrett Courtney works at IGN, so it was, like, his work, how he got there, and, like, how, literally, his work on the B-List, which is a show of his, which is a video essay, basically influenced him getting a job at IGN. Because it came... Like, IGN was looking for someone for video, he puts out the B-List maybe, like, a day before, then, like, they pick up on him, and it's all this stuff, and, like, it's snowballed, and it's a pretty cool story. Go check it out. But other than that, you have that. But no, that's the nutshell. That's Breaking Reality.
Yeah, that's awesome. I admire people's dedication to put out content every single day. You do it. Alex O'Neill does it. There's other people out there that doesn't really matter what it is. I mean, it could be a blog or a podcast or whatever, but at least you're putting something out every single day, and it's something that you're proud of. So I admire people's dedication to do that. I don't think I could do it. I'm a pretty real busy shit, guy. Andrew,
real shit. It's not hard once you start doing it.
Yeah. I mean,
be very open about that because I've been going for 231 days. The hardest step is pulling the trigger.
Sure.
I tell that to people all the time, whether you want to do video, you want to do writing, whatever the fuck you want to do.
Yeah.
The hardest step is pulling the trigger and acknowledging this is what you want to do. And that's how you, and like, and going about it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think they say a habit is made within 21 days or something like that. So, you know, I've discussed this in a recent episode with Roger Picorni.
Yeah.
And we mentioned the same thing. It's just like, you kind of just got to pull the trigger, like stop making excuses and just get on it. So, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that everything's working out for you and that you're doing guest work for OK Beast, which is cool.
I have those guys on. Two pieces on. I have an Ubisoft recap and I have a really cool piece about Sundered, which is awesome because the team behind it, White Lotus, retweeted it and like got them more views on it, which I think I'm pretty happy with.
That's awesome. So let's discuss this. So what was like the biggest influence for you to kind of, like you said, pull the trigger and get to the point where you knew that this is something that you wanted to do every single day?
So that's a loaded question because I have because everyone, all the friends that I know look up to like a lot of people in the industry currently.
Yeah.
But to me, I look up to the people who aren't in the industry. I look up to the people who are doing the amateur work, the Irrational Passions, the Trevor Troves, Pardon the Gamer, and whatever site you write for, or whatever site you work for, Andrew. I thought it was Pardon the Gamer, but I'm wrong on that.
No, that is John Bernardo's.
Yeah.
And then ours is Fit the Gamer. So.
Fit the Gamer, that's what the one.
Yeah, it's very similar, but and we didn't even do that. That wasn't planned, we promise. Yes.
Yeah. you have like OK Beast, and like those are the people I look up to. Mainly, it is like the main person I mainly look up to is Alex O'Neill. I will credit all of my success to him because of the reason I wanted to get started on writing every day was he put out on Twitter, like, hey, I'm looking for guests for top 10 Game of the Years for 2016. And I was like, hey, I'm not really big into the gaming space. Like, I don't have any works out. Then we, like, it was from that moment I was like, I really just like talking about games. And sure, I had a podcast before, but like it wasn't really as fleshed out as it was. It was more like it was more goofy, and it wasn't like as organized as it is now. And I was doing it with my brother, and like I will attribute some of the like the goofiness of it to like me and my brother's banter.
Yeah.
Versus like I have people like you and Alex O'Neill, or you and like Logan Wilkinson, and those shows are more tight. And like last week I had Trevor Starkey on. That was a very good episode.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just finding the people, like, it's just, I will say, like, I don't know, it's, I will always attribute all of my success to Alex and like people like Dustin Furman, Trevor Starkey, even Roger Picorni, who's like my age, which is like baffling to me, you know, like he's doing all this cool work, all this dope work, but like he's my age. And like Moises Tavares, who I believe is my editor when I'm like writing up pieces, because I'm like, yo, edit this. And he's like, sure, whatever. But like those are the people I look up to, and like it's weird that I'm on the path that I am currently.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't expect it. Like, literally a year ago, I would not expect myself, would not see myself writing for over 200 days, having two podcasts, having the plethora of friends that I have that, like, are able to, like, if I say, hey, you guys want a podcast, they'll be like, yeah, and it'll be like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird in a feeling because, like, sure, it's, I would love to, like, have everyone, like, in an ideal world, I would love to have everyone I know just, like, on the same block.
Yeah.
Because it'd be easy. It'd be really easy. San Diego's expensive, so no. very expensive. But no, like, there's all these, like, and it's all this, it's this, I don't know, it's this sphere that, like, I've been inducted into. And it feels weird, but, like, I look up to, like, everyone who's helped me on my path. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It's weird, like, reflecting on it, because I'm, like, because I don't often do it. I don't often reflect. I just, like, because if you don't know Amy Andrew, I shit on myself. I self-deprecate a lot. Like, as, like, oh, like, this could be better. This piece could be better. Like, the grammar needs to be better. Fix this, all that. But then I don't do it. I am so fucking critical of myself that it almost bothers me to a T. So then half the time I don't realize it because, like, I'm just having good conversations with friends and or doing something stupid. And, like, then I, like, take a moment and realize I'm like, oh, shit, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
But, and it's, like, it's something that I see often with writers, with, like, Trevor Starkey, and why he stopped doing it, like, writing every day after, like, 300 days. But you see people like Alex O'Neill going for over 900 days, which is fucking bonkers. Like, stop. But no, but I'm sure, like, people who want to be writers write every day just to get better at their craft.
Yeah.
And it's like, the people I look up to is, it's everyone and no one, basically. Everyone who's putting in work and the people who want to put in work but aren't able to put in the work.
Yeah.
That's like, in a nutshell, that's, like, everyone I look up to.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone looks up to, like, all these people in the industry, but I'm all like, I don't. I like people at the ground level, doing all these, like, amateur, in quotes, amateur, because Irrational Passions and, like, Trevor Trove and OK Beast are not amateur sites. But, like, you look at my site, BreckenRally.com, it's very much an amateur site, you know what I mean? It needs the work to be put in. I need a writing team, you know, which I gotta sort out shit for that, too. But no, like, that's who I look up to, Andrew.
That's awesome. See, here's something funny, is that we're kind of in the exact same boat. Like, essentially, for me, a year ago, like you said a year ago, you wouldn't imagine where you are right now. for me, I'm like the same way. I never would imagine that I'd be doing this podcast where I talk to, you know, a new person every episode about some cool project that they're working on. Like, I never would have thought about that, to be honest. So, I'm excited to be where I'm at right now. I'm excited to see where everything's going to be going. I've talked about this with other past guests and things like that, but I don't see myself as like some big reality like star or anything like that. I don't see Private Chat ever taking off to become like this huge, you know, thing or whatever. But I just do it because I enjoy talking to those people that I see who are putting the effort into making something. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be a blog, it could be a podcast, it could be a video, it could be, you know, whatever, anything. So that's basically what this is just me talking to those people who are, you know, putting the effort into creating something. And now for me, I would say that my influences were definitely people that were in the industry at first. You know, I want to say I grew up, but, you know, as a gamer, whoever, you know, pop culture nerd, I grew up, quote unquote, you know, listening to like Greg Miller, Damon Hatfield, you know, those guys, you know, Podcast Beyond and all of those people. Like, I grew up listening to those podcasts like every week and whatnot. But now, I would definitely agree with you that now my influences are my friends, and seeing what they're doing and the work that they're putting in is pushing me to continue doing this. And
exactly. And that's like one of the main things is when you see the people around you doing better, better, whatever the fuck they're doing, right?
Yeah.
You want to keep doing that and you want to pursue better things. Say whatever, if it's videos, writing, and you see them like doing both those things excellent, then it pushes you to do both those things better. You know what I mean? And that's the key thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Roger, like last week when Roger was on, he was talking about how, you know, it's scary to see some of our friends just do so well at things. And we weren't trying to be like, you know, disrespectful or anything like that, but it's like, it's scary, but it's also like very encouraging to see them excel so high with the content that they're making.
Yeah.
You know, like you said before, you know, you feel that your site's amateur.
Fucking amateur.
But there's other people's sites out there who, you know, you could say it's amateur or not, but I mean, it's, you know, they're not using it to make money. They're just using it to, you know, get their content out there. And so, you know, you see those people out there and they're putting in the work, and it's very encouraging. It's very, but it also is scary to be like, those are like the next people who are going to be like in the industry, like doing really big things. And it's very awesome to see that. Like me personally, I'm not trying to put myself down or anything like that. I just don't see myself ever getting there. Like,
no,
because I'm not allowing myself to, like you said before, you know, you look up to the people who do put in the work, but then also the people that want to put in the work but aren't able to.
Yeah.
I see myself as kind of like in that boat right now where I'm kind of like, I want to put in the work, but like, you know, I have a relationship to juggle. I got a cat I got to take care of. I got a,
very adorable,
you know, a 9-to-5 job that I got to go to. And it's like, you know, those things are all very important to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, you gotta, if I really do want to push myself to get to that point in life, in my career or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You gotta make sacrifices.
You do.
And you gotta, you know, what you said before with Ian Prashil, you guys did that interview at 6 a.m. and then you had to edit it and then you had to get on a bus, go to class. It's like, you know,
I had to go to class. I had to go to work.
Oh, you had to go to work.
I literally woke up at 5 to prep, write all the questions, prep the interview. Then we performed the interview. I edited it, took a shower, got ready, uploaded it, got my ass out the door, tweeted about it.
That's sacrifice right there.
That shit sucked. Never, ever do that. But like the only reason it was delayed like that is like, oh yeah, I'm not going to have access to a mic till Friday. And I'm like, that's when the show goes live.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you got to make sacrifices. You know, you sacrificed, you know, a couple hours of sleep. You know, what is that to you? You know,
and my sanity.
And your sanity. But, you know, that's a sacrifice right there. And that's something that I think I definitely could do better at, is making sacrifices to push myself to the point of where I want to be, you know, with making content and things like that. I mean, I've mentioned this in the last few episodes. You know, Fit the Gamer, we took a break towards the end of July. Ben and Jake moved into a new apartment or a new house recently. Steven's moving this coming weekend, I believe. And so, like, we've just been kind of taking a break and just kind of, like, focusing on life right now. So, for me, I've obviously still been doing private chat and whatnot, but I see us coming back in the near future, and hopefully we'll be able to get back on that track where we were before, putting content out every week. So, I mean, I miss that. I really do. And I made, you know, we all made sacrifices to do that weekly. You know, we would give a week, you know, we'd give a weekend day away, and we would record like a Let's Play. We would do like an unboxing video, and then we'd do like a podcast, and that's like, you know, 6-7 hours of our Saturday that we use to make content that we could put out throughout the week. So, you know, you got to just make those sacrifices, and I appreciate there are people out there doing that, and I think that's, you know, that's what you're doing. You're making those sacrifices, putting in the work, so.
I wouldn't call it sacrificing, but just recording late at night, then just, like, sitting on the audio and editing it, and then uploading it. But, But no, like, sacrifices are something that people are afraid to make, and they, like, to quote FDR, I'm pretty sure, is the American people, like, just in general, people fear what they don't know. Yeah. And so taking that leap of faith or just whatever sacrifice you're willing to make, people are afraid to do that because of they're afraid of what might come from it or what might not come from it. You know what I mean? And that's the hardest part is pulling, like, I will openly say this, the hardest part about doing anything in the world is pulling the trigger, whether it's jumping off a cliff into a lake or some shit, or writing every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It all takes sacrifice, and you have to learn to balance that and understand what it gives and what it takes from you.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that 100%. You gotta, like you said before, you gotta pull the trigger. Yep. And you just gotta go for it. And, you know, I do agree with you. I think a lot of people are scared of doing that, and they're scared to see the results and kind of see where things end up. But
yeah,
you know, you gotta go for it. So, I mean, I feel like I've had this conversation probably every other episode with Private Chat, but I think it's a conversation that kind of needs to be nailed home with people who listen to this show and who kind of have doubts in themselves. Is just to do what you love. And you know, once you do that and people see that, they'll love the content that you're making. And they'll support you, which is also very awesome. So,
to give an example is input from Irrational Passions. There was one day, like I think it was last week, the audio was fucked up, and then I immediately texted Logan, like, hey, the audio is fucked. Like, what's going on here? That I messaged George Cruz the exact same thing. And like, oh yeah, we're working on it. It's a back end thing right now. And I'm like, awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because I know I'm the only person who like gives that show so much like love. Is, you know?
You kidding? Like, I love that show. Like, dude, that show's lit. Yeah, I've had Jarrett on, and Logan's the next guest after you.
Can I talk about Logan Wilkinson real quick?
Go for it. Give him some love.
I love Logan Wilkinson. One of my favorite memories recently with him is he was all like, yo, Rocket League. And I'm all like, yeah. And we played like 3 hours of Rocket League. And we just like goofed around and talked about how... Well, then I debated him why Michael Keaton's Batman is the best Batman. because it just is. Fuck you, Nolan.
Damn.
I mean, like, it's good, but like, the only good one is 2 versus Keaton Batman. It's 1 and 2 are both good. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just like stuff like that. I love Logan. I love that show. I love George Cruz. I've yet to have a conversation with Jarrett. So I'm interested to see where that goes. I want to get all 3 of them on Breaking Reality at the same time and see how, like, just have a goofy fucking show with them. Because that'd
fun. That'd be awesome.
I know.
Yeah.
So
all those guys are really awesome. Like, I met Jarrett last year at Extra Life with Irrational Passions. And he DJ'd, MC'd, whatever you want to call it.
Yo.
My first time playing through Resident Evil 4.
Okay.
So, like, we had a segment where it was just me playing Resident Evil 4 for an hour
yeah.
on the stream. And I had never played Resident Evil 4. you know, they recently got released on PS4 at the time.
Yeah.
And I was having a blast, and he was just spewing out, like, cool facts about the game and things like that. It's, like, 4 in the morning at this time. And
so, yeah.
Like, I'm, like, deadbeat tired, but, you know, he's just talking about Resident Evil 4, and everyone's watching. It was really fun. And then I just recently had him on private chat. Unfortunately, the audio on that got fucked up, and I still don't know how to fix it. So I'm going to have him on private chat again someday. I hate audio issues. I fucking hate that shit.
Dude, so much. I know. Like, when I had Dustin Furman on Breaking Rally Stories, his audio got fucked, like, after, like, an hour in.
Ah,
and, like, after an hour in, that was, like, the beauty of that conversation.
Right.
It was, like, 30 minutes afterwards, just, like, on tech support with him.
Fuck.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, yeah, try to recover the project. Oh, yeah, the project's not recovering. So, like, it was, like, late minute, oh, yeah, we probably need to re-record this audio. And we're like, yeah. That wasn't as good, which kills me sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, like, I fucking hate audio issues. I need to get something off my chest. You and goddamn Roger Picorni are the only assholes to send me WAV files on Breaking Reality. And let me tell you, downloading like a 3 gig file is the worst. The 3 gig audio file is the biggest pain in my ass.
So let me tell you why I do that. So Pro Tools is the program that I use.
Okay.
And Pro Tools is like the industry standard program that you should be using. For like video editing and shit like that. I know.
Yeah.
Not everyone can afford $1,000 program. The only reason I have it is because I got like a discounted price when I was in college.
Yeah.
So I have like a version of the program that's like 5 years old. Anyways, so the reason why I do that is because when you load a WAV file into Pro Tools, it loads faster versus an MP3. And I know that might be the vice versa for other programs, but for me, it just works better.
I totally get that, but, like, you sending me, like, a 3 gig file, I was like, what the fuck? I immediately texted Alex, and I'm like, yo, like, what the fuck?
What the hell? I wouldn't assume that this file would be 3 gigs. Maybe not even a gig, probably.
Because guess what? I'm going to send you an MP2, and you're probably going to have to convert it to an MP3.
Are you really going to send me an MP2?
I'm using a PC, dude. I don't have the proper codecs.
You don't have WAV?
I mean, I can probably do WAV, but, like, it'll take a while.
Yeah, I'll fix it.
All right. I mean, I probably can do WAV, but it'll just take, like, maybe, like, 5 minutes to export.
Eh, it'll be easy.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I've never done WAV files because I'm not an asshole.
Well, I gave you my reasoning. So, anyways.
I know.
But anyways, so, yeah, like, we were going back to Input. That show is really great. You should listen to that show.
If you like Wayput and Radio, go listen to Input.
Yeah.
Those are literally what I've been listening to the past few days, is Waypoint Radio and Input.
Yeah, for sure. So. Yeah, that's a really good podcast. So moving on, it is, you mentioned before, pumpkin beer. It is that time of the year. Fall. Fall is upon us. The summer slump is over. Now is when the fun really begins.
Get all this pumpkin shit out of my life. Pumpkin beer, pumpkin spice lattes, fuck all that.
Like, I really pumpkin's like pumpkin gross. Beer. I will not lie about that. But pumpkin spice lattes can literally fuck off.
I know, do you drink Blue Moon?
Yeah, I do.
They have a horchata for a seasonal. I know they also have a pumpkin beer, too.
All right. I'll have to pick that up this next Sunday.
All right. If you can't find it, let me know, and I can see if I can send you a picture of what the package looks like. No, but, like, pumpkin beers. Like, that just sounds gross.
Trust me. Just, have you ever had one?
No. I'm just underage, dude.
Oh, wait. Never mind. Well, I mean, you work at a grocery store. You can sneak one. You're fine. Don't worry about it.
No. I'm not going to risk my job over fucking pumpkin.
All right. Understandable. We'll edit that out. We won't edit
I mean, you don't have Sorry. To. You won't. This isn't 40X1 Ozzy where they talk about editing it out and then they don't edit it out.
Yeah, they never edit that shit out ever. besides the pumpkin, fall is upon us. Like I said, the summer slump is over. This is when all the games, the big games, come out for the year. So what I'd like to talk about at this point is your biggest anticipated fall games and why. And we did discuss this a little bit beforehand.
Yeah.
And just to give people a little bit of disclaimer, we both have kind of the most anticipated game. And yes. It does involve killing Nazis. So yes. for the faint of heart,
Quentin, if you're an alt-right asshole, get the fuck off this show.
Quentin is going to tell us why he is so excited to play Wolfenstein because he gets to kill Nazis. So Quentin, go ahead.
So if the people don't know, whatever country you're listening this to, the events that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, or what was it, Maryland or
Virginia? Virginia.
Yeah. Because MJ owns that team. It's the Hornets. But no, there was this big Nazi uprising, and like I saw that. I was literally working all weekend and had no time, but I saw the aftermath of it, and I'm like, yo, what the fuck? I mean, I knew like I have a strong history of understanding racism through America and all that, because I listen to a lot of hip hop. It's the culture that I'm in. I've literally read the Clinton crime documents and understand how corrupt that side of the government is on all that. Mm-hmm. So I know all that. I know how that is. Then I saw this event happen. Then it just it burned a fire in me. I'm like, yo, me and Moises Tavares at Platano Ranger on Twitter, we had a good conversation about it. And it was like, I can't wait for Wolfenstein to come out because I've literally never wanted to kill Nazis before in my life. If I ever see a Nazi, you saw what happened to the Nazi thing in Seattle, right?
I think I saw what happened. Someone getting punched or something like that.
Yeah, and they were just fat out. Yeah,
yeah, I've seen that.
But the thing about that is it was this hunt through social media to find this person and then hunt them down. Then they did find the person, then the person got shut down. But the thing about Wolfenstein that's going to resonate with me is because I'm very political, but I'm very left in how I think. I believe in equality for all and all that kind of shit. And sure, I can argue about all that stuff all day, but but seeing that happen, I was like that's not okay. That's unacceptable. I've literally never ever felt so much hatred before in my life for a specific group of people, because I tend to acknowledge that everyone is equal, and my only rule is everyone is equal unless you're being a hateful little piece of shit, then you should just be discarded because you're scum of a human. You're just human scum. Then I saw that and I was like, yo, Wolfenstein's gonna be my game of the year. Then me and Moises Tavares had this back and forth about it, and we're just killing Nazis sounds fun. Because in Wolfenstein, if they don't know, you can do it in very excruciating ways. You can blow their heads off with auto shotguns and all this crazy shit because it's Wolfenstein. But no, that's why I'm excited to play Wolfenstein this year. My other most anticipated fall game of the year is actually Assassin's Creed Origins.
There you go.
So yeah, there's that.
And you're not killing Nazis in that game.
No. I'm killing, I'm interested to see what Origins holds, because I'm a big Assassin's Creed guy. Yeah. I will die on the sword saying Assassin's Creed 1 is the best Assassin's Creed.
Damn.
Suck at everyone else who has a bad opinion about that game. So, yeah.
That is a very interesting opinion that I will respect.
What, Assassin's Creed 1 is the best?
I think Assassin's Creed 2 is better.
No, it's not.
Ezio Auditore, or however you say his name.
Sure, the character is better, but if you think about it in the grand scheme of things, Assassin's Creed 1 is what made it. It's the pioneer of open-world games.
That is definitely something I would agree with,
yeah. And that's why I respect it so much, is because it did that, and how it approached missions was so unique. Versus Assassin's Creed 2 is go here to kill this dude. Versus Assassin's Creed 1 is go eavesdrop and understand how to infiltrate the certain area to get a more tactical advantage. And it gave you reasons to do side activities instead of, get more money and do all that this other true. Stuff. You know what I mean? That's why it did interesting concepts. And sure, all the stuff happening in the quote unquote real world is stupid or whatever. Shit.
Yeah.
I hate it in all the games. It's dumb. Even in Black Flag, it sucks.
I think, did they get rid of that for the new one? Origins or whatever?
I fucking pray to God.
Because, like, those games would be so good if, like, all the Animus bullshit was just cut out. Like,
dude, I know.
They would be, like, 10 times better than what they are.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't know. I don't understand it. I haven't even seen the movie or whatever that came out. I think it's on HBO.
I don't want to see the movie because
that movie looks... I think it's on HBO, so I'll probably watch it.
Oh, my God.
This weekend or something, get drunk, watch that shit. Anyways, yeah. So...
Off your pumpkin beer.
Yeah. for me... Wolfenstein is definitely one of my most anticipated games this fall. I'm a little bit more on the side of, yeah, killing Nazis is cool and whatnot. But for me, it's kind of like... So here's... And I... This is probably going to be a very interesting conversation. Because yeah. I'm really not a political person at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, I have my beliefs. There's things that I'm going to stand up for, obviously.
Yeah, and...
But I'm not going to get on my soapbox and say you're right and I or you're wrong and I'm right. Things like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why I got rid of Facebook is because that's all I ever saw on there was just
people. My family uses it. My mom will text me, like, why aren't you on Facebook anymore? I'm like, Mom.
Because it fucking sucks.
It fucking sucks. And, like, I have my Twitter vacuum where it's like all my friends have the same ideas and I don't have to argue with anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm yes, amen. Amen. Bless up, brother. Like, because, seriously.
And, like, and that's why I'm, like, and the only reason I like arguing with people is literally my English class. And my professors are like, oh, yeah, we're going to talk about, like, the transgenders not being able to serve in the military. And, like, this person was defending Trump's actions. And I'm like, fuck you. You're wrong. And I had, like, 5 other people back me up on that. And granted, I don't like saying, like, shit like, fuck you, you're wrong. But that was an instance of... You're a disgusting human being for having that standpoint. Because guess what? Transgender people are people too.
Exactly.
So, get fucked, guy.
So, another little tangent, but we're good. This is what it's all about. Anyway, so,
yeah.
Like I was saying before, like, I'm not a very political person.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, I still have my beliefs and my, you know, whatever left, right, wherever I want to go. I am definitely all about equality and everyone has the right to be and do whatever they want, you know, in the guidelines of morality.
Yeah.
You know, whatever they feel is okay. And, you know, like, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So it just, you know, be yourself. Don't tell other people to do, you know, to do something. Don't force.
No, and I totally agree with that. And like, like, for me, politics is something that, like, it's so heated currently in the state of the world, rather, like, we live in the United States of America. It's very tumultuous time that we live on. But, like, when people have viewpoints in which they're not open and, open to see other viewpoints, that's when I'm all, like, you need to open your eyes. Like, I can understand why, like, Donald Trump's doing the stupid idiot shit that he's doing. But guess what? I can acknowledge that I have my own point of view, too, and I can acknowledge what the fuck what he's doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's when people, get bothered. It's like, oh, you can't have 2 points of views. Yeah, you can, motherfucker. Yeah, you can.
You really can. And so, as I was saying before...
Wolfenstein.
For this game, you know, obviously the whole Charlottesville incident was very disgusting. It was very disturbing, and personally for me, you know, that does worry me that that's something that's kind of happening in the country.
Yeah.
You know, that can just happen any day, just any day, just like this protest and the president of the United States, you know what he says? Well, you know, there were bad people on both sides. Well, there Mr. Was, president, like, guess here's what? The
There's
thing.
Good people on both sides too.
Those are protesters, and then those are Nazis. So
people who hate people of color, Jews, anyone who doesn't believe in what they believe in.
Exactly.
They're also supposed to be blonde and have blue eyes and have perfect bodies and all that,
like,
shit.
The perfect human being, things like that. Yeah, and that's very disgusting. Like, it's a very disgusting, like, viewpoint and things like that. And obviously, that's not something that, you know, America should be about or even support in any way, shape, or form. Unfortunately, though, in recent events, it definitely feels like the President of the United States supports something like that, which is very disheartening.
He's a scumbag, to say the least.
Yeah. I'll just say it. Yeah. But like I said before, I kind of like to sit on the throne of,
yeah,
you know, whatever. If you want to think that he's doing the right thing, whatever, I don't give a fuck.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, you are right. That is very disgusting to like even remotely like give the light of day, essentially.
Yeah. And that's where like I come at the point. It was like, you have to respect both viewpoints.
You do.
Because if you don't, then you're just narrow and close-minded. And sure, yeah, I'm an 18-year-old saint, like, understanding both, like, left and right views. But, like, it's how you have to adapt in modern politics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We live in such a bogged-down time where it's, like, you have to call your senators more often because you have to make sure that, like, the ones you're voting for are actually doing stuff that you want to do instead of, you know, saying, I know he's going to do the right thing. You actually have to call them and make sure they're doing the right thing because we live in that current state. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and I know this discussion has gotten a little bit more political versus video game centric, but it is all very important. And, you know, for a game to kind of, and I understand it, I just got to say, there are going to be people out there who view this game as something that's more like demoralizing than, I don't know what word, enjoyable, like, I have no idea, but, like, people are going to look at it as, like, disgusting and things like that, but you have to look at it from a standpoint of, this is good versus evil, like, there is no fine line, like,
no,
these are good people versus bad people, like, Nazis are bad people, like, there's nothing redeeming about that viewpoint at all whatsoever. You can't look at it like, you know, maybe I could be a Nazi. Like, you can't, like, there's just nothing about, like, that viewpoint that is positive in any way, shape, or form. So you have to look at it like, Nazis are bad people. Like, this is just, and this is what this game is, I think, is talking about. It's coming out at a very
interesting time. But to correlate the two, it's hard because this game was in development before Trump was elected.
Oh, yeah.
So, sure. Like, people are looking at it like, oh yeah, this game is a response to Trump being elected. I'm all like, no, dude, it's not. It was in development even, like, because Wolfenstein New Order came out, what, 2015?
I think so.
This game was probably in development, like, immediately after. Then they just, like, it just happened to coincide with the Trump being elected. So when people get on that boat, I'm all like, you're wrong, dude, because that's completely coincidence.
Yeah, it is coincidence, but it's also, it's a game that's coming out at kind of like an important time in our history, unfortunately. But yeah, it's definitely one that I'm very excited for, not just for story purposes, which for me, as of late, like, the story is what really means to me, like, in most games nowadays. Like, I used to be a big multiplayer guy.
Blowjob Blazkowicz.
Yeah, that OG. And I'm very excited to play the story. I do want to play New Order before the new one comes out, but I don't think I'm going to have the chance to do that, which is fine.
Wait, you haven't played the reboot?
What was that?
You haven't played the reboot?
I have not played New Order, and I haven't played Old Blood.
I haven't played Old Blood. New Order is fantastic.
Okay. I'm sure there's going to be, like, a PSN sale before the game comes out. And I could probably find the game for, like, $20 on Amazon if I really look for it. But
I would argue that it's one of the best games on the PS4 Xbox One generation currently.
Really?
Yeah. It's a really solid story.
That's great.
Also, Kitty.
Yeah, she's all and about right now. She's I think she's thinking about climbing up. Oh no, she's not. Okay, let's get down. Okay, anyway, so
yeah.
That's definitely one game I'm very excited about. I'm very excited about for Shadow of War as well. I'm a big Lord of the Rings nerd. I have been since the first movie came out. Read the books.
Nerd.
I love Lord of the Rings. I wasn't a fan of the Hobbit movies, if that makes you feel any better.
I can't stand any of that. I can't stand the games. I can't stand the lore. I think, like,
dude, I get that shit up.
Dude, man, I can't stand it. First of all, I can't stand movies that are, like, boring and, like, fucking 3 hours long. Like, how the fuck do people watch that shit, man?
Dude, trust me.
I could barely get through the first one.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry.
It was like Peter Jackson was riding his fucking dick the whole time.
Well, Jesus.
But he was.
I'm very excited for Shadow of War. Shadow of Mordor was very fun. I like the Nemesis system.
That was actually, like, the standout thing to me. It was like, my brother was playing it, and I'm like, oh, that's actually a pretty neat system. And he, like, he totally abused the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Like, he was like,
you can manipulate that system very easily.
Because he was cool. Like, yeah, and he was, like, having the people that he liked move up and do certain things and, like, beat all the people and get all the people that he wanted in control and do all that stuff. I'm like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how that's going to transfer over.
Yeah, for sure. And just, like, the Arkham gameplay mixed with Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Like, that was really cool. I really enjoyed that. So I'm pumped for that game. You know, there's a lot of, like, nindies, you know, for the Switch that are coming out that I'm very excited for.
SteamWorld Dig 2.
SteamWorld Dig 2. Golf Story, I think, comes out this next week. Stardew Valley is supposedly coming out decently soon.
There's if that game comes out on the Switch this year, I'm not going to play anything else.
Right? Yeah. And I've never I haven't even played it on the PS4, but everyone talks about Stardew all the time.
Andrew.
And I have never played Harvest Moon either, so.
I haven't played Harvest Moon, but, like, that was one of those games where I just listened to podcasts and just, like, enjoyed.
It's a podcast game.
Yeah.
It's one of those games. I love podcast games because it helps me get through all the podcasts that I need to catch up on.
Because guess what? The Witcher 3 was that for me, too.
Yeah. Who cares about the story in there?
Yeah, seriously. Like that, but the world is so fantastic.
Yeah. And then you have, like, your big AAA games that, you know, come out every year. New Call of Duty. Excited for that. I love
World played War II. The beta, right?
I did play the beta, yes.
How was that?
So here's the thing. So it's still Call of Duty.
Okay.
It's still fast. They have basically stripped everything down, so it's kind of bare bones. You get a weapon, you get, like, a couple attachments, there's, like, a grip, and then maybe, like, an iron sight or whatever that you can swap in and out, things like that. It's nothing that's gonna be too substantial or anything.
Yeah.
And then you get, like, a grenade and a sidearm. So, I mean, it's pretty bare bones. There is, like, there are perks that you can get.
Yeah.
And you just get one perk. So you're not getting like three or four different perks like old Call of Duty.
Oh, that's interesting.
Games. So you just get one perk. You can have like a perk where you can pick up ammo off of dead bodies.
Yeah.
You can have another perk where you sprint longer. Things like that. So, I mean, it's very bare bones. Like I said before, it's still really fast because it is Call of Duty. I'm very excited for it. I love World War II. Like, that's my favorite era in history. I love history.
World War One.
I love Battlefield 1, by the way.
It's his historically inaccurate, so I'm not going to like it.
Well, I'm so sorry.
It is.
It's fine. It's just a game.
There was barely any automatic weapons in the war, so...
That is true.
And if there's not and when the Russian update comes out, and if they're not rushing in with pitchforks, I'm going to be disappointed.
Well, the Russian update is already out. And I can tell you there are no pitchforks, unfortunately.
Well, guess what? That shit's still not... It's still inaccurate, so I'm not going to play it.
Anyways, so... yeah, there's lots of big games coming out that I'm excited for. Like, new Star Wars Battlefront.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And I think, from what I've seen with videos and other things like that, I think they really listened to the people that played the first one and kind of fixed things around. Obviously, if you've played the first one, people who haven't, first game is very bare bones, very casual shooter. It was fun for a time.
Very lacking.
It was fun for a time, but you can only play a very, like, simplistic game for so long. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like Destiny 1. Like,
Exactly. Yeah,
at least 300 hours with Destiny 1, but, like, that was also a podcast game.
That was a podcast game, Destiny. Like, 2 is kind of at that point for me as well.
Yeah, and
because I'm just grinding at the point.
Because guess what? I can't get past 275.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
I literally spent 6 hours grinding and got zero on my light level.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's depressing.
Yeah, so I'm personally contemplating just like seeing how the faction stuff works out.
Do you stop now and wait for the other games that are coming out? I know what you're saying. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of big games coming out, and I'm really excited for all of them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the biggest game that I'm excited. I mean, Wolfenstein is definitely at, like, the top right now for me.
Yeah.
But, like, there's so many other, like, little things coming out, like, this fall that I'm very pumped for.
I just want more games on
my Switch. Yeah.
Yeah, I want every game on my Switch, too.
Yeah.
I was literally
Wolfenstein 2 is coming out on the Switch. Same with Doom. So, like, that's really cool. Like, I probably will buy that game twice just so I can play it on the Switch.
I was thinking about it, and it was like, I was thinking about this months ago. I was like, you know, how lit would it be to have Dishonored on the Switch?
Oh, man. And like, they could probably make it happen now, because they're making Doom happen. And
because, guess what? My life would be over.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I just wallow into a ball of sorrow and just, like, cry myself to death. Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen when I play Death of the Outsider.
Yeah, I think that's...
God, I'm getting sad just thinking about it now.
Don't cry. It's fine. You'll be able to play it.
Oh, no, I don't want to, Andrew.
You just gotta sacrifice Destiny 2. It's fine.
No, I don't want to play Death of the Outsider because I'm going to cry. Dishonored's over. There's no more Dishonored. You're fine. Andrew, it's dead.
I'm sorry.
Christ sucks.
Let me see here. So I'm going to... scroll to... Let's do some listener questions here.
Yeah? You want to do the... What's the next topic you had? Do you want to talk about how to get out of a slump or no?
Sure. Yeah, let's get a little personal. So
yeah.
So this week's been rough. Yep. I haven't really been too personal on this podcast. Quentin, I know that you saw my Twitter post today, and you said that we should discuss this. I think we should. So lately, I've just been kind of dealing with your standard depression. So yeah. I'm just kind of at the point in life where I feel like I'm plateauing, and I'm at the point where I feel like I'm not gonna go up from here, unfortunately. Yeah. And it's a shitty feeling to feel like you're at the age of 26 and you have nothing else left ahead of you.
Yep.
And it's scary. It can give you anxiety. It definitely gives you depression, and it is scary. And I guess I'm at the point where I don't want to accept where I'm at right now. And I want to continue to move up instead of just accepting where I am at. So today I've actually taken the last couple of days off from work just because I haven't been able to get out of bed in the morning, things like that. I mean, it's a scary feeling to feel like you don't want to do anything. You know, this show helps. Talking to friends helps.
It does.
Talking
is the best thing to help, like, with depression or anxiety is like, and going back to the thing that you're talking about plateauing, I feel like I'm plateauing now and I'm 18.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And it's part of me is like, I just need to keep pushing myself. And like, sure, that chips away like a bit of my sanity. The more and more that I push, it just like I get a little bit like tighter and I like get more constricted thinking about it. But the thing about like depression is like, I don't know about you, but I get, like, these monthly bouts of depression. It's, like, at least for, like, a week every month, it's just, like, I feel like shit. I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
But then I just, like, then I push through. And the thing that does it for me is if I listen to sad music, then I just cry it out. Then I just, like, be sad for the rest of that day. Yeah. I'll feel better the next day.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of different things that people do. I mean...
Yeah.
Take medication, run, go to the gym, things like that. And for me, the gym has definitely been a safe place.
Yeah, just to the gym's a great way to do that.
Yeah, just release any bad emotions and juju or whatever you want to call it. Like, just release all of that and just get it all out.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I haven't been dedicated as I was before with going to the gym, but that's definitely a place that I want to see myself get to.
You got
to
get swole, Andrew. Got to get swole.
Yeah. Dude, I definitely do. Because not only does that help, like, you emotionally, it just kind of betters you as a person as a whole. Not just physically, but also mentally and things like that. So,
And for me, is because I live maybe a mile away from the school that I'm going to, and, like, the bus stop that I take, the one I go down to work, is maybe at least, like, 3/4 of a mile. So, like, for me, it's walking basically every day. You know, like, every day that I'm going to school, it's, I'm walking like 2 miles and like I'm listening to podcasts and it helps me relieve my, like, it gives me a bit of escapism because, sure, I'm listening like Waypoint Radio or I'm listening to the Comedy Button or I'm listening to Input, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it allows me to like relieve all of like my qualms that I have. It gets rid of it, you know what I mean? And for some people, it's like, I'm like, for you, it's like the gym. And, like, I totally respect that. But, like, for me, like, all my physical activities at work, like, which is a nightmare. But it's just how it is. That's a total story unto itself. But no, like, it's, like, doing, getting out of your own head and getting out of your own space is the best way to do that.
Yeah, I think, you know, the depression and anxiety is such a complex thing, I feel like, because it really is just your mind telling you to give up. And it's sad. I mean, it's sad to, you know, feel that way, and it's not fun at all. It's not, like, something that's enjoyable, you know. And everyone deals with it differently. You know, they find comfort through something else. You know, sometimes it can be destructive, unfortunately, or it can be therapeutic, you know, things like that. You know, for me, it's, I'm just at that point where I just need to push past it and not let it, like, overcome me.
Yeah.
And it's, for me, it's, it comes and goes. Like, I'm, like, the same way. It comes in spurts, you know. It comes every once in a while. You know, it definitely is a longer period in between. But when it comes, it hits pretty hard, unfortunately. Yeah. So, like I said before, I haven't gone to work the last couple of days just because it's been really tough just to get out of bed in the morning. So, you know, you just got to find something that's going to help you overcome it.
And
like you said, with you listen to podcasts and things like that, and you walk to school and other things. For me, it's going to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, for people out there that really don't know what to do, I would say possibly start going to the gym, you know,
or start walking, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Doing something at least active where you're not just sitting in a room by yourself. Cause like I've seen that like destroy people, unfortunately.
Oh yeah. And like, I will openly say this. I've been on the verge of suicide before, and it's not fun, but then I've literally backed myself down. But, like, I would just think about, like, yo, this would affect a lot of people if I actually, like, pulled the trigger on this. And, like, that's something that always goes through my mind is every time I have one of those thoughts is, like, I'd disrupt and fuck up my whole world. Like, or even the world that I've been living in because I did this thing. And, like, if you're on that verge and you think about suicide as a selfish thing, then that's what's going to get you to back down from that ledge. Yeah. And like, and going back to like getting out of your own world, working out, going to the gym, whatever, just honestly, just like, even if you want to like go to a park and just like sit down for an hour and just like look up at the sky, just get the fuck out of your world and relax.
Being active in some way, shape or form is going to be the best way to help you to get there. And talking about it too. Like, just talking to someone, doesn't matter who it is. I mean, hopefully they're a friend, but, you know.
Yeah. And there's hotlines to call and all that shit. You know what I mean? Like, there's, even if you don't have someone to call, there's always someone to talk to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing, is that gets lost on a lot of people, is people always, they don't think about, like, the world. Like, I think of myself as very selfless. Like, I'm always trying to, like, help someone out or, like, make sure everyone's happy. It's like, I don't really think about myself in the grand scheme of things. It's like, even with my friends, like when I'm going to like at school and like I have a 2-hour gap and I just like shoot the shit with my friends and one of them needs a coffee, I'm like, yo, do you need a coffee? I'm like, yeah. And then I just go buy them a coffee. You know what I mean? Yeah. And granted, it's like a chai latte.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it's
weird ass hippie shit in it, but it's still, you know what I mean?
It's still something, you know?
Exactly.
But yeah, no, I'm glad we took the time to talk about that just because it has been rough these last couple days, you know, just thinking about my future and feeling like it's kind of just at a spot where nothing's going to happen for me.
Hey, Andrew,
it's tough to think about. But
if you ever need someone to chat to, like, I'll give you my number, ring me up, like, and we'll go chat. Because
thank you.
Personally, I have, like, I don't mind being the shoulder or being the person, like, the brick wall that people vent to.
Yeah.
It's like when my grandma died, it was like I was that shoulder for my grandpa. Like, it was literally, like, me and him just at her funeral and him just, like, crying into my arm the whole time.
Yeah.
And because I'm okay with being that shoulder. I'm okay with that position. Because it allows for people, because I'm a good listener, is what the people say. And I allow for conversation to go on for over 3 hours, i.e. check out Breaking Reality. Like, I'm okay with being that person, because not a lot of people have someone they can vent to. Yeah, they have spouses or whatever, but sometimes the spouses aren't fully wanting to go through and understand what the person's going through. Yeah. You have to, like, part of being, like, dealing with this stuff is understanding how to be empathetic, and that's the key thing.
Yeah. No, it really, really is. And, you know, I think for people to really fully understand, unfortunately, they might need to go through their own, you know,
yeah, trials and tribulations.
And it sucks. Like, it's not a feeling that I want anyone to ever experience. Like,
no, it's not fun at all. Terrible thing to go through.
It's just not fun. So, no. Anyways, but I'm glad we were able to talk about it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Quentin, for, you know, discussing that and,
yeah,
you know, kind of allowing me to, if I do need to talk to you, I definitely will. Yeah. Like, I just, you know, it's good to know that you have friends out there that actually give a shit about you.
And, like, that's the beauty of, like, who I am is, I don't want to, like, fucking, like, just, like, say, oh, yeah, I'm this awesome person. No, it's just who I am.
Yeah.
I try to make sure that everyone's happy. I try to make sure everyone's accounted for and being happy. Also, your cat's going batshit on those curtains.
Yeah, she's trying to get up onto the screen that's protecting the window because she likes to crawl up that, but she's not going to do that.
See, one of my cats do. I have, like, the metal security door that goes in my backyard.
Nice.
And I have cats that'll climb that. And I've, like, I'll open the security door sometimes, and they'll just be clinging on, looking out, and I'm like, yo, motherfucker, you're the asshole still on there. Then I close it, and they're like, oh, I wanted to go outside. And I'm like, you could have jumped down. But
she's silly.
She's a kitty, though. But no, it's like you have to learn to be there for people, whether it's there in conversation, just there in, like, text messages or saying, like, hey, you okay? You know what I mean? Because, like, personally, that'll go a long way. I've sent so many messages to people that they'll just post on Twitter or whatever, and they're like, say, oh, having a shitty day. And I'm like, yo, you need to talk. And they're like, no, I don't, but, like, thanks for reaching out to me. Because a lot of people will just post beneath it. I'm one of those people who will actually send a message and saying, like, hey, are you okay? Like, when Alex O'Neill posts a shitty thing, like, saying he's feeling like shit on Twitter, I'll literally just text him, like, yo, you all right?
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, like, Mario Not Bros will, or, like, Moises Tavares will. Like, when anyone does that, if I'm able to message them, I will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Everyone has a shitty day. Everyone has that shitty day, so... but anyways, so
yeah,
let's wrap up here.
Okay.
Let's do some listener questions here, and then we'll do your shameless plugging.
Yeah.
Which we have been doing the whole show, but I want to make sure people go to the right place where they need to go.
No worries.
So we do have one listener question here from...
We have two.
Actually, yes. Jamie Seidel, you son of a bitch. So Chase Williams, at Bodacious Chase on Twitter.
Yeah.
He writes in, he says, when you need to take a break from gaming, what is your go-to pastime?
So do you want to go first, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, I'll go first. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, for people who know me, I do love playing video games, but when I do get sick of that, I either am watching a Netflix TV show, or I'm reading a book, or reading comic books.
Yeah.
So, I'm really into comic books. I love pretty much anything by anyone. I'll check out any recommendations that people give me.
Yeah.
Lately, I'm finally back into reading physical books. Like,
yeah.
I used to be, when I was younger, I was one of those kids that was always reading a book.
Yeah.
Just doesn't matter what the book was, I was just reading it. So.
Well, Andrew, if you have any book recommendations.
Well, thank you. Yes, I do.
If you need book recommendations on Russia and Eastern Europe in the 1960s. Call it my way.
Perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Awesome.
I'm finally getting back into reading books. I love listening to podcasts. I actually really enjoy just listening to podcasts. So not doing any other activity, just sitting there and listening. So there's a lot of different things I like to, you know, go to the gym, go shopping, things like that. But I'd say for right now, as of lately, reading books is, like, my other activity that I would be doing rather than playing games.
Yeah.
So I always try to read at least 2 hours before I go to bed. Tonight, I'll probably read, like, a half an hour before I go to bed.
Okay, but, that's not bad.
You know, it is what it is. So how about you?
For me, it's a toss-up because we are approaching October.
Yeah.
And, Andrew, basketball starts up. Oh, hockey shit. Starts up.
Ah, shit.
My two favorite sports in the world start up. And boy, oh boy, Andrew.
Yeah.
Minnesota. The Timberwolves.
Timberwolves, my dude.
We going to be good this year.
We looking hot.
We looking hella hot. We got Jimmy Butler, Carl Anthony Towns, Teague. Ooh, we going to be fire. But however, on the hockey side, fuck the Minnesota Wild. I'm going over to Detroit.
Jesus.
Repping
the Red Wings?
Yeah, boy.
Why?
Well, let's see. It's the team that I grew up watching. So, long story short, I got into basketball very recently.
Sure.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to bandwagon a team that's really shitty. So that when they start getting good, I was like, yo, I was there when they were shitty. So, back up on. That's why I chose the Timberwolves. Is sure. Because
We have been shitty for the last few years. A very long time.
Few years being like 10 to 15 years.
Like 15 years.
Yeah. Ever since we lost Kevin Garnett.
Exactly. The first time.
Yeah. But, no, and like that's why I like Minnesota is because, yeah, I like the Pistons because I like the city of Detroit. It's like something I resonate with. But like the Pistons are good. So,
yeah.
I don't want to root for a good team.
They actually are making a comeback. They have been for like the last couple seasons. Yeah. So, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I'm really. Like, before I moved down to Minneapolis, I was living at least 2 hours up north in Minnesota. And I wasn't really into sports, like, watching sports. I played sports. I was in high school basketball. I did track and field. I know people probably, like...
What event did you run in track and field?
I did shot put.
Okay.
And discus. So, obviously, I wasn't running. Like, fucking...
Well, you were doing field, so...
Yeah. I was doing the field... portion people so because people look at me, they're like, god damn, you gained a lot of weight in like 7 years. So I've always been a bigger husky dude, but I loved track and field. I love doing shot put. I was not the greatest at it.
No,
but
if you love doing it, then why the fuck stop?
It was fun. I liked doing that in high school. And then when I finally moved down here in Minneapolis 5 years ago, that's when I started getting into baseball. I started getting into hockey. I started getting into basketball.
Don't tell me you're a Twins fan.
I am a Minnesota Twins fan. I am a Minnesota everything fan besides the Minnesota Gophers, which are the college team. I hate the Minnesota Gophers.
Okay. See, I'm all over the board with sports. I love the Boston Red Sox because my grandma's from...
Boston?
Boston. She's Boston. From Braintree, actually, but like that's like 2 hours away from Boston.
Close enough.
I love Detroit because of that's the teams that my parents showed me as a kid, and Minnesota's just because I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna root for a shitty team. Then I started watching them, like they got talent.
We young?
Question mark.
We young?
Yeah.
It's okay. We're just young. That's all.
We had Jimmy Butler now, so we're gonna like get 40 games.
We do have Jimmy Butler. I'm very excited to see where this season goes.
Yeah, same.
But I'm also very scared as well.
Yeah. Oh, I'm hella scared. But no, like, my pastimes is very much sports. I love, like...
Yeah.
Like, when people say, like, oh, yeah, I can't watch sports and, like games, I'm like, but you can.
That you can.
You very much can. Like, two of my favorite sports in the... I mean, I don't play the sports games because I play games for a different reason.
Yeah.
Like, I love watching those games on TV or my laptop. Or even, like, when I didn't have cable, I would listen to fucking radio broadcasts.
Yeah, dude. I recently just got into listening to the radio. Like, if I can't watch the sport...
Fuck, man.
I'll be listening into the car. In the car. So
that's the most, like, hype
shit. That's, like, the classic way of doing sports.
Or yeah, and, like, I remember... Like, I was listening on my laptop, like, maybe like 2 years ago, and it was, like, during when Detroit was in the playoffs, and it was just the first round. Yeah. But every time they, like, got a goal, I would just fucking scream, and my brother would just, like, throw some book at me or some shit and, like, tell me to shut the fuck up. I'm like, no, it's exciting.
It is exciting, especially just hearing it.
Yeah, but outside of gaming, my other pastime is writing.
Yeah.
Like, even if I'm writing about video games, but, like, I really like writing. Like, it's... I used to be my first year of college. I was undecided, but now I'm an English major. So like,
sure.
I'm gonna pursue that as much as I can because people say that the written word is dying, and I beg to differ. I think it's getting better as it is. It's just the format's turning into video. So like, you just have to adjust that plane of writing.
Yeah.
But no, like I love writing sports or fuck, oh, man. Andrew. Can't wait for sports to start back up, man.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Do you like football at all?
I can't stand football.
Okay. Alright. I thought I'd ask.
No, and I totally get that, but like football is one of those sports where I'm on like it's so weird and like doesn't make any sense to me. Like I understand the concept of it, but like the points are weird. Like basketball makes more fucking sense than football to me.
Oh yeah.
Like and how like and all this recent like political stuff and like it makes football seems like it's just for like it seems like it's just for the hardcore fans who only like give a shit about fantasy and like not really how their team's gonna do. Like that's what it comes off to me. And like I may be wrong on that. But
yeah.
But no, football's just not for me. If I want to totally play fine. Big men like hit each other, I watch wrestling.
Yeah, I'm not really into wrestling, but I do love my football.
So. Yeah.
And then we got one last question from Jamie Seidel @jseidel1623. I went to school with Jamie, like middle school, high school, actually elementary school, middle school, high school. So I've known Jamie like my whole life, essentially. And so he writes in saying, when am I going to be on this? Well, Jamie, let's see. So you live in Two Harbors, Minnesota, which is like a crack cocaine town where everyone's crazy.
Wow.
And I don't know why you still live up there. You're only 2 hours away from me. If you ever want to come down and record this shit, just come down, bitch. Like, seriously, I'm calling you out right now. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, motherfucker, come on this show.
He doesn't even listen to this. I know he doesn't listen to this, but I'll make sure I'll let him know that, you know, that I gave him a call out on this week's episode.
Yeah.
So.
Text that bitch and be like, yo.
I will. I will make sure to do that. Anyways, Quentin, thank you so much for coming on. It was fun to have you on.
It was a pleasure, Andrew.
Glad we were able to talk about everything, including killing Nazis, which is fun.
Yeah, that was. I think that was like topic of the show.
Tots. But yeah, at this point, Quentin, go ahead, pimp your shit out. Shameless plug. Go for
it. I'm gonna pimp the fuck out of my shit.
Yeah,
go for it. You know, I'm fucking slinging shit in the corner.
Damn.
Fucking East 51st. No. So yo, you can follow me on Twitter @quantum_arbiter. You can find my website, also my brand, BreakingReality.com, and you can find my podcasts on BreakingReality.com, both Breaking Reality and the sideshow, Breaking Reality Stories. So, yo, that's my shit pimped.
What about Twitter? Did you say Twitter?
Yeah, the thing I started out with, Andrew.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Were you not listening?
It's not that I wasn't
listening. Do you care about me?
I was just me. I'm sorry. I follow you on Twitter.
Oh, no,
I'm just making sure everyone else is going to follow you on Twitter, too.
Yeah.
Does Breaking Reality have a Twitter account?
No, because Breaking Reality is taken, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, shit. Fight that guy.
Well, I won't. Because, everything I tweet is about mainly, like, the podcast and all that. So, like,
sure.
Does it make sense for me to have my own? Because I'm the only person that regulates the show. So it'd be kind of a pain in the ass. So.
Understood. I've been there before. Anyways, all right, everyone, thank you so much for listening again. Appreciate you checking out Private Chat again this week. If you're looking for more Fit the Gamer content, definitely head over to fitthegamer.com. We have Fit the Gamer, the main podcast, which is coming back fairly soon on iTunes as well.
Get fucking hyped.
Get hyped. I want to do like some sort of promo for that. That's like silly promo. I'm sure I'll talk to the guys about it.
Yeah.
And then I also do a comic book podcast that's also hopefully coming back soon called Panel to Panel, which is also on iTunes. So get ready for all of that. Hopefully within the next month here, we'll be back on track. Everyone, this has been Private Chat. I've been your host, Andrew Taylor, and we'll see you next time.